All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire Football Podcast, Championship Edition. That's right, folks. If you head over to MWWire.com, we have predictions. We're going to have more stuff by the time you hear this. We have our podcast recap last week's on the front page. Shouldn't be there. But we have all sorts of stuff going on with the postseason just about here. We have how Rebels quit. We have Broncos quit. We're going to have coaching news we'll talk about. We're talking about everything today. We got portal stuff we'll get to later. That'll be another show because there's too much going on right now, Josh, as you're here with me. But we're going to get into coaching news, all conference, crazy predictions for the Mountain West title game, and just our normal preview and stuff. So how are you feeling about the game, Josh, before we get to it? What's your – are you excited for it? How excited are you?
I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting. You know, we'll see how UNLV responds after last week. Because Boise State has the momentum, especially after beating Air Force. So, you know, they're riding that high. They may want to win it for everyone after firing Avalos. So we'll see what happens.
All right. So we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to coaching stuff. Let's start there at Boise State. Because right now I love how Boise State is basically Jeremiah Dickey, the AD, giving a play-by-play of what they're doing. They're not saying who they're interviewing or anything, but they've been giving frequent updates. And so you have Spencer Daniels, an interim coach. He legit, I don't know if he'll get the job. He's interviewed for the job. Do you say if they win the conference title, is he getting the job? Or would they still go with somebody else, but just keep him on staff?
I think he might be the favorite for the job no matter what, because I know a lot of the players like him. There were some, you know, social media rumors going around that some players may leave if they don't. So it's up to, you know, you never know how to take, if you take that at face value. I don't know what you do. Do you lean into that and just keep them, or do you just go your own route?
If they go out and bring in like freaking Bronco Mendenhall, I'd be like, that'd be slap in the face.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, was the defense really the problem outside of the Washington game?
I think it was more decision making than just defense. Because, I mean, they were crushing CSU for a good bit, and then they just let off the gas almost.
Well, I just mean, like, the defensive scoring, they give up 25 points a game. The only real bad games they had, like, the Fresno loss was weird, 37, and Washington 56, but Shane, like, 20-something points a game is fine. Defense wasn't an issue, and so. In the past, when he took over the past two games, he'll do Utah State to 10 points. Utah State has some pretty good players. They have arguably some of the best receivers in the conference.
I think part of going off topic a little bit,
that's
I think
fine.
Part of Utah State's issue was they were too condensed and they didn't like to spread it around, which allowed Boise State to focus in on that, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of UNLV's issue a little bit too, at least on offense, because they only have – you know, you have Ricky White with 1,300 receiving yards. Their next closest person is Jacob DeJesus with 456. So, I mean, yeah. Like, if you can limit UNLV's offense, which Boise State has shown that they can do.
So. Potentially, yeah. We'll see how it goes. But who's a better option than him right now? Because he's the hot coach. He's playing well, coaching well. Team's doing well. We've heard random candidates like freaking Brian Harsin to come back. Like, what? They're not getting Sean Lewis because we'll talk about that. He's going to San Diego State, which would have been a good hire.
I think he'll be fine. I think he'd be a great hire for them. You know, they had the continuity. The players seem to love him. Harsin seems to be in on Boise State. I don't know if he's campaigning for the job. Maybe Spencer brings him in as an offensive analyst or something.
Yeah, he can do it what Cutter did before. He's still getting that Auburn money. Because I could see him, like, that's a legit thing. I could see him being, like, do what they do at Alabama, Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, and all these guys go there and be analysts, and then, all right, I'm good. My offsetting pay, whatever, is done or something. He'll go get another coaching job. Mm-hmm. He's basically the same age as Barry Odom. He's 47. So we know he's not done coaching. It just kind of depends where and how.
Yeah.
I just hate retread coaches. It's like, no, you've been there, done that. And he, like, here's my main reason not to give him. He pissed all over the conference. He complained about the leadership within his own school. He complained about support. You want that guy back who's grumpy if there's one game where they drop to 30,000 instead of 37,000? He gets all upset because they don't bring a huge crowd when they play Cal Poly or Sac State. I don't want that guy around. He's too negative.
Mm-hmm.
And just real quick, if we're in the type of time frame where players are able to get actual money, some money toward their value and stuff, he did not want to do that at Auburn. I've said this before in the podcast. He'd give the stiff arm to freaking Bo Jackson to Auburn. I'm like, what are you doing? You're a complete idiot to not play the game a little bit instead of going hiding in Mexico during off season. You have to go meet people. We have Bo Jackson's literally the best athlete, like one of the top 10 athletes in American history, best one ever at your school. Maybe put Cam Newton there because he won a national title. But when you say no to Bo Jackson, well, who? What are you doing? Who are you? And he's just too negative and complained and wanted out of the conference. Is he going to want to feel the same way in a couple of years? Like I'd say no. Don't do it. All right. I do think momentum. If they win, I definitely think he's a coach. If he loses, I'd say toss up.
I can agree with that.
All right. So Sean Lewis is going to San Diego State. Do the Aztecs finally have it, Josh? Do they actually have a guy who can run offense and do the, what do you call it, the Flash Aztec or something? The Flash Tech?
Hold on. Who did the quote tweet? Was that you or was that Matt?
No, it was Matt. I know what it was. I'm trying to pull it up too. It was
Montezuma.
Yes. Zoom. Yes.
That is so much better than Aztec Flash. I am sorry.
Aztec Fast, because it's Flash Fast. Yeah. It's the thing, what was it, the what did we talk when Norvell was in Nevada? What were they calling it? Are they trying to change the name or something? Like, no, we had the perfect name. Well, they need to come to us. We have the quinterback. This guy has a Montezuma. We need people. Like, no, coaches are boring. Give us better names. Aztec Fast. It's not bad. To be fair,
and I hate to say this because I hate them.
The show
came up with that.
That's fine. That's okay. Here's the thing. They've gotten better the past couple of years when people have handed off leadership of that account. Because a couple years ago, it was terrible and brutal. And just flat out mean and disrespectful and no fun. Yeah. You can have fun and kind of screw around with your rivals, but I do like Zuma. So this hire, I said it, you've heard me and Matt do the show forever. I said it forever. If they had a quarterback who was just slightly above average, they would be nobody could touch this team in the conference. Like they would be crushing everybody with ease. They have, assuming. Now, I know a new coach, and they've been dropping down a bit defensively. Not super elite, but still really good. Running game has been bad since Greg Bell in the first half of 2020. I know Donald Pumphrey and Rashard Penny are generational talents, but they've had a stable of running backs forever. They've had like Jesse Matthews, good receivers, like Mark Redmond, the tight end this year. Really good guys that can play. Do you get a quarterback that's a little bit better than Christian Chapman, who was fine and more of a, 16 of 22, 190 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, that type of guy. You get a guy who can throw 250, 1.8 TDs a game, maybe half a pick a game, with a good running game. There's no reason this team shouldn't, with this coach, they should be the best team in the conference with this coaching staff, what they're going to do. I'm not sure if Ryan Lindley's hanging on or everybody else, or he's just going to clean house. But I think this is a huge hire. Amazing.
It definitely is. I mean, I talked about it a little bit when we talked about it last, about what they should do. And they did it. They went in the complete opposite direction. They went offensive and not defensive. So now's the question is I may jinx it, but what if they reverse it and their defense goes to crap?
You're Washington State and that's exciting football. You know what that is? You're at least fun.
Yeah.
Do you want to be – okay, pick your poison. Do you want to be Iowa, who's 10-2, wins 12-8 games, or would you rather be Washington State, 7-5, playing games that are 45-42, last team gets the ball wins? What would you rather have as a team?
As a fan or as a player?
As a fan to root for. What would you rather have?
I'd rather watch the exciting game.
Yeah.
45-42. No,
yeah, if your team – I like University of Utah. There's some games this year I'm like, this is – the Oregon State game, this is dreadful. It's just not fun to watch. They're playing certain teams. They go up and beat the crap out of Arizona State. Cool, that was fun. But I'd rather be a team that wins 7, 8, 9 games in every game, exciting, than win 12-6. And it's just not – and you're – well, I was going to get the butt kicked by Michigan by 4 touchdowns, at least. There's no way. And so, at the very least, you're interesting and fun. And that's, and guess what? College football's a TV show. And that's what I want to see every week. And if you're good and exciting, sign me up to watch the Aztecs play. But I don't think the defense is that crappy. Because when he was at Kent State, it took him 2 years to go from middle of the pack to top two offenses in the conference. And he noticed that Colorado, Josh, after his first couple of games, they took away play calling a bit. Like, oh, we're changing. They weren't very good. But also their offensive line sucked.
Well, I also think it was someone touched on this a little bit. I found an article about it where Sanders just wasn't like running the offense the way he wanted, because they were talking about it, and Sean Lewis wants, you know, quick tempo, quick passes, get the ball out as soon as you can.
Yeah,
and Sanders was holding on to the ball, so some of the sacks are definitely like,
yeah,
it's like it's more on the O line, but some of the sacks were on Sanders because he was trying to develop an offense because he knew the O-line he had, and Lewis was trying to get around that. And that's the offense that he's had since he was at Kent State. It's that quick fire offense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he tried to approach Sanders, and Sanders just turned away. So I don't know how much else he could do there.
Cause he held the ball. Yeah. He held the ball a lot. Trying to get sacked a million times.
Yeah.
So I think this could be, like, it's going to – unless Boise does something crazy, the hire is not going to be better than this.
Unless they can pull – I don't even know who they could pull out who would be better.
Like, I kept saying, like, even in mid-October, Sean Lewis, bring him out here. He took a huge gamble going from a Kent – because the MAC is just a bunch of guys. There's no, like, Jason Campbell's out there anymore, moved on to Iowa State. There's not many guys that move on to get bigger jobs. It's kind of get – you eat each other alive, and you kind of just sit there in purgatory. So he made a move, which I think some coaches could do, go to be an OC at a big place. Colorado's not necessarily a big place, but a big conference. Got the attention the first month. People already knew he was a good coach. No matter, if Colorado went 1-11, people would still want him to be a head coach somewhere for what he could do. There's no stink on him for how it ended up being or how the season ended up. He had enough bright spots, showed what he can do, and it's going to be – it'll take him a minute to get this thing going, but like with the quarterback they have, there's a possibility they could be pretty good right away.
Yeah, you know, it definitely showed, like, where he got demoted. Like, you could definitely tell there's a different tone in the offense. And, like, that's what teams wanted. That's what administrators wanted to see. They could see the offense that he wants to run. Now he's got the team that he can build around with much more resources than he had at Kent State.
Yeah. So I think this is a pretty great move. It'll be awesome. And then let's talk about Barry Odom real quick. We'll get to the championship game stuff later. We got the news here. You got to stick around for the appetizer. So Barry Odom's name is being mentioned everywhere. Why would you go to University of Houston? Isn't that like Missouri South, essentially, when he was there before in the SEC?
More money, but I don't know if it's less expectations than Missouri.
Houston wants desperately University of Houston to not be in the shadow of every other school in the state, essentially. They got left out in the Southwest Conference 20-something years ago. They've been clawing their way back in. They're finally there. They hosted Texas this year. That was cool. They almost beat them. They want to be a big-time team and program. And they tried to with Dana Holgorsen to bring him in. That kind of worked for a minute. But it's going to take years. Does he want to start with a roster? Because he's at Missouri. They went from the Big 12 to the SEC. They already had, within the neighborhood, the talent they would need. You're going from an American school to a Big 12 school. Look how long it took Utah or TCU to get really good in their conference. It takes time. Louisville took a minute to get there when they moved, bounced around the Big East, American, ACC, all that type of stuff. It takes years. Are they going to be patient with them to give them a full 5-year deal to figure things out? Conference has no identity in the Big 12. When it comes next year, the two best teams aren't even in the conference at the moment, Utah and Arizona. They're going to still be a whatever team. I think in his age, like if you're to do this, like what he's done, okay, let me ask you this because I'll stop hogging things, but who should be coach of the year nationally? Is Barry Odom up there to be like a top three guy?
Somehow they're going to put, they may put Kirk Ferentz up there. But
why? No. Zero. No. I'm trying to think who could be, I can see Sarkisian if they make the playoff at Texas, possibly. That'd be fair. Even though he did not win Big 12 Coach of the Year, Mike Gundy got that award today, which is probably the coaches saying, screw you, we're not voting for either OU or Texas, and both are deserving. And Venerables won't get him in the playoff. Norvell, Florida State, had they had their full complement of players, like Jordan Travis, and to make the playoff, it would be him, but I don't think he'll get it now anymore. Just because that's tough, right? I don't know. He's probably in the conversation, but Barry Odom has to be there. I don't think he'll get it, but it's like all these awards I vote for. It's all Power 5 or bust guys. I'm like, there's good players outside of there, outside of these leagues. So, but would he go? Like, is he going to go? Like, who? He's been attached to like a million jobs.
I mean, it depends. I mean, he's close to 2 million at UNLV. He has committed resources from the university. It just depends on if he wants to get back to that bigger level.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not old. He's not that old. He's about 45, 46. We figured out the other day.
Yeah, he's in his mid-40s, yeah.
So, I thought he's older, and so it's not like he's just going to chill and hang out and win, but he's not from Vegas, so it wouldn't be a problem if he'd leave and go anywhere else. Nobody should be surprised. I just don't think Houston's the right move.
I will say the other thing that he is an Oklahoma guy, so he might not want to go and help any school in Texas.
Yeah.
It's a stretch, but.
Yeah, he can. He's not in the same conference. He'd be in conference with Oklahoma State, but I'm trying to see, like, who would, I don't know. Didn't he also take Missouri to the SEC title game? Was he the coach that did that?
He might have been. I'm not off the top of my head.
So he's done good things. So I don't know. It's like, why didn't Arkansas just – they're a mess right now. They just fired him and promoted Garrett Pittman last year. He's in a weird spot. I don't know because he's not from the West. He's not from this. He took this job to get – from. Remember, because it's also – he's been Missouri SEC. He was – that was Petrino. He was Arkansas coordinator, I think, in Missouri State. He's been around. I think he'll be one more year. Because here's what's going to happen. With the playoff expanding, more teams want to have expectations that they should be in the playoff that have no business. So I could see some random team who's number 22. Who's number 2 in the 20? Who's number 22 in the rankings right now? Do you have that in front of you? Kansas State or something? Let me pull up here. That might be Tulane or something. But I could see a team who is, let me pull up here, NC State. Like, we should be in the playoff. We're that close. And firing all these coaches. There'll be a million. Next year, there'll be a million more coaches' job openings. And I can see him having more opportunities because all these schools, Tennessee, Oregon State doesn't apply at the moment. But maybe Kansas State or something like that. Or and I have an LSU. But James Franklin, if they're Penn State's at 15, oh, we should be in the playoff. You're out of here. There will be a lot more jobs opening next year. I think that might be when he decides to go.
Yeah, we'll see.
Is he staying, do you think? Do you have any thoughts?
I'm not sure. I know.
Same.
I know he likes the head coaching job. It just depends on if money's a motivating factor for him or not. Because, I mean, if it's not and he just wants success, yeah, I could see him staying.
People like money, right? $2 million goes a long way anywhere, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to this. We'll get the game, I'm telling you, just a moment. So, conference player of the year. Do you have any thoughts going through, like, we'll make this quick, like the postseason player of the year, Asha Gentry, player of the year, not a shock. Siobhan Cordero, first team quarterback. Did anything surprise you outside of maybe, well, that's a national award. But any surprise you saw from like all these awards that came out?
No, I think everything looks good defensively.
Your boy Muhammad Kamara got Defensive Player of the Year. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, the first teams look right. Everything looks good. I don't have a problem with anything.
What? I mean, you're no fun.
I'm just like the closest thing I could say is. You could maybe make a case for for CSU's quarterback for freshman of the year. That's maybe the closest I could give you.
Could you have seen a scenario you put Kroski Merritt in first team running back over what's his name? Kyrie Robinson? Your boy Kyrie?
No, because Kroski Merritt was more one dimensional and both those running backs were both runners and receivers.
Okay, just that's like the only thing I was trying to stretch and think what I could do. Like Don Holker made the right choice of tight end. Redmond, same guy. Defenders, offensive line. I do not like, so we're putting our own list out. Our buddy Matt's put it out. We're going to have this, I think, Friday at some point. The only thing I don't like is that they put offensive line, that's it, and defensive line. We go tackle, center, guard, defensive end, outside linebacker. We even put in a flex defender. So I say ours are more superior because we actually do the, because you can have five tackles on the offensive line. That's not fair. That's not high play football, is it? Last time I checked. There's probably, you could probably nitpick some offensive line, but I was just curious. Like, everything seemed up on the up and up for the most part. You had special, yeah, Terrell Vaughn made it. So let's move on to the game. We're too boring agreeing on all this. So this game, the Mountain West Championship game. Saturday afternoon, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Big Boy Fox, Boise State hosting, or excuse me, that's probably a slip. People thought they should host possibly. Going to UNLV. Just, and I apologize to San Jose State fans. You guys are playing quite well. It's not fair. The tiebreaker is weird.
Before we really get into it, did you see that post about the different conference tiebreakers?
Yeah, San Jose State would be like in half of them, right?
No, they'd be in the majority of them. There were only three conferences where UNLV made it, and they were all G5s.
That's weird. Like, looking at it, what other, like, I didn't look at what, I saw the list. I'm not sure what tiebreakers they used, but I'm okay. I'm kind of okay with this game situation set up we talked about in the last show. To be fair, I think San Jose State has been playing the best football right now in the conference. It's not close.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
That early season caused them.
And also,
especially if they had beaten Toledo with the record Toledo has.
Oh, yeah, they're going to win the MAC. They would be in because of the computer ratings. Or, well, there's that late pick in that game, but also don't blow a 20-point lead to Boise State either.
That too.
So they're not necessarily guilt-free here, but it's hard. It's tough. They're going to play a bowl game. They'll win. They'll be fine. They had a tough non-conference schedule, and they got going late. So this game here, the line at the moment is Boise by 2.5, opened up 3, went to 2. It looks like it's kind of settling right around basically the field goal. What is the, when you look at this matchup, because I also like this matchup, Josh, because these teams didn't play each other. Rematch if it happened, whatever, but I like that they haven't played because we could have seen either Boise, San Jose, or San Jose, UNLV, and they played each other. Especially back-to-back. We had that a while ago. That was annoying. Where do you want to start? Like, what's the big thing, big picture thing, like, stands out to you in this game? This is kind of like your main thing you're looking at. Is it, you have two inexperienced coaches in this particular situation. you have one quarterback with UNLV who's never played here before. UNLV's all new experience. Boise's kind of been here before. Does that kind of impact who could, like, and is that any, that's kind of what I thought, big picture, like, the experience factor being in this type of game?
I mean, it's definitely a factor, but I think the biggest key for me is how one-dimensional Boise can make UNLV and how UNLV's defense responds to, you know, Boise's ball control they've been running the past few weeks. Those are the two big keys for me, like, defensively. Because the offenses are going to do what they do. Like, you're going to have, like I said, ball control on Boise's side now that Maddox Mattson got surgery and Taylor Green's been running the show, you know, really effectively these past few weeks. I definitely think the firing of Avalos has helped him, so, like, as much as anyone. And, you know, he's basically what we thought what San Diego State should have as a quarterback. You know, he's a running quarterback. He's somewhat effective through the air with a dominant running game on the ground. So if those two can mesh, like, offensively for Boise, like, that I think that wins them the game. And now it just comes down to how does UNLV respond on defense. Meanwhile, for UNLV, it's all right. Can you run that complementary offense? Can you throw it to Ricky White? Can you run it with your cadre of running backs? Because I think they have five running backs with 200 plus yards.
Yeah, they're pretty.
Four running backs and Jane Maiva, who all have, and they have 36 rushing touchdowns as a team. It's
pretty good.
Yeah. So it's how one dimensional can you make UNLV for Boise, and why is it make them throw the ball to Ricky White the entire time? Like, Ricky White's going to do what Ricky White does, but if you can, I think I said the opposite before in our little pre podcast chat.
Yeah.
But as I'm talking to myself, I think forcing Ricky White to do everything is actually the key.
That's what they have to do. Because he's going to get his no matter what. It just means, is he going to get 20 targets and get 10 catches? Or is he going to catch 12 or 13? Because that's a big thing, too. If he's targeted all the time and can't get it, that's an issue. But I can see, like, he's a big deal. For Boise to win, I think it's just Ashley Jenty and George Lonnie.
Yeah.
Them having those two guys, and Jenty's clearly player of the year, as we mentioned, elite running back. And Lonnie's not that far behind. He's just, his health has never been there for most of his career, but I would not be shocked if both guys get 100 yards. That wouldn't surprise me.
I think this is Halani's game. I filled out our little sheet before we started, and I put Halani as my offensive MVP. I think this is his game to shine. I think they know what Jenty brings, but Halani's been the bell cow for so long, and he still is. And you're right about his injury history, but he brings so much to this offense with how forceful he runs, and the fact that he can speed away with it too. But he just brings a different dynamic to this offense that I think they needed.
Yeah, if they have those two guys back there, and then also I think having just Taylor Green as quarterback, that's it. They're not shifting or sharing. That consistency helps, because they were, dude, the way they were splitting QBs, it wasn't like drive for drive. It was like, all right, this drive you're in, this play you're in. You play two plays, now switch. That's got to be kind of hard. And this, having that one quarterback, even though I think Green's not the better of the two, but he's clearly fine and makes plays and is good. But knowing you're the guy the whole time, you can be a little more aggressive. You can afford to try a little bit. Don't be as conservative, because before it's like, oh, if you make one bad play, you're out. Now he has room to do things. Maybe he's more comfortable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for UNLV on offense, it's Ricky White. Get Ricky White the ball as much as you can. And if they're going to cover him, and I don't know how they'll play him. They're going to bracket him, shadow him, do what they're going to do, because they just have not many other guys beyond there that are going to catch the ball. But I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Vincent Davis, Jett Thomas, Lester, Reese, all the coordinators, all those guys. They have enough backs where they can just go up, and if they all play pretty well, like that's my Evans number, so I'm going to skip that. But these guys all score touchdowns. They all average over 4 yards a carry. They make teams and players miss and move and like can't or just can't get to him. They have enough depth there to where they can roll whoever's out there. And if they all do kind of what they're normally going to do, it's going to open everything up to get Ricky White and others the ball. And so that's why I think like that's their depth right there. So who, if we go like through positions, who's the better quarterback? Is it Maeva or would you go Taylen Green? Who would you pick?
It's Maeva. I put UNLV.
Okay, so we have these kind of groups. Running back, Boise State, right? Overall, that's gonna be the those are the closest too. Even though Gentry's like amazingly elite and better, I still think this position group is close, right?
I think it's close, but just due to the fact that like. You knew what Boise State was going to do, and they still did it, is why I gave them the edge.
Yeah, I think, yeah, the playmaking ability that, like, hey, not Boise, UNLV may have 250 yards rushing, but, like, six guys are getting up there or something, right? Where it's, like, 60, 40, 40, 30, or something like that, where they all get, like, 65 yards, which is not saying it's bad, but you don't have that one main guy. I just, like, thinking about how these teams played, watching how they play, there's going to be some trick plays by these teams. I like to do some of that type of stuff. Is there going to be a situation where we see them in offense? Like, how aggressive are these guys going to be? Because teams nowadays, I love it when it's like fourth and short, they go for it. Is there going to be, this could have been a good thing to put for, maybe I'll change my kind of wild prediction of some sort. Is there going to be an or a Dan Lanning situation in this game where a team that definitely should have either done the opposite, whether they punted at midfield, or they don't go. They decide to go for it on fourth and short, but miss it when they could have kicked the field goal and get the ball. Do you think that one of those situations will pop up? I think there'll be at least one of those.
You said Dan Lanning. Are we talking Dan Lanning versus CU and he misses?
No, like
no, because he pulled like he pulled a fake punt on fourth and three from like his 17.
I don't remember that. I'm talking about versus Washington where he lost.
Oh no! I thought you were talking about CU. I don't think it'll happen in the first half, and if it does, that whoever made that call is stupid and should be fired.
Landon, you're out of here.
I don't think you'll see Risky until midway through the third quarter.
Yeah, like Risky. But
I think you will see a fake field goal, fake punt at some point.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about it's you're at your own 48 yard line. It's fourth and two, and they punt. Like, is that going to happen? Are the coach is going to turtle up in here and be like, ooh, we're going to hang on tight? Is that going to be the case? You need to roll the dice, man. You're in Vegas. Go for it.
48. That one's tough.
Why? If it's close, come on, man. Two yards.
But it's the 48.
So?
If it's the 42, I say yes. It's 6 yards, but that's a big difference to me.
Well, 6 yards is. No, I'm saying if you're basically on your half the field by a couple, and if you didn't get to midfield to get the first down, you go for it if it's 2 yards.
On your side of the field, no. On the other side of the field, maybe.
Oh, that's 4 yard difference. Give me a break.
I mean, midfield's a barrier for a lot of people.
And that's dumb. What, the invisible curtain there?
For a lot of coaches, yes.
Here's the thing. Boise State is the best converting team on fourth down, 8-10 for the year. UNLV is 7-15. So UNLV is a bit more aggressive. I just like to take chances. The odds of you making it are better. But I get the point. If it's like the there's time to do it. But I'm like, if it's fourth and under two, and you're – if I was a coach, here's how I'm playing, Josh. If I'm beyond my 40-yard line, and it's less than if it's about 3 yards or less, I'm going for it every time. Maybe I'm a terrible coach. But if I get to my own 40, I'd go for it every time if it's fourth and three.
I can see.
Would you? How do you feel about my coaching philosophy here? Am I fired already?
Well, what are you? Are you that that high school coach from?
No, I'm not. No, hold on. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, team no punt. Yeah, the guy never punts ever. Not that guy. All
right. But I mean, I don't mind it as long as you're confident you can get it.
You should be able to get 3 yards.
Should be in the operative word there.
So what we look at? What else? Big picture things. Like, look at defense here. Boise has their defense.
Sacks is the big thing for me.
For which player or which team?
For both, because let me pull up stats.
I have the stats up, and I just had to go to the right page. So Boise has only given up 13 sacks. UNLV has given up 17.
It's pretty However, good.
UNLV has 24 sacks, and Boise has 33.
Yeah. Boise leads the league in sacks.
Do they?
Yeah, 34. They have one more than your Rams.
I thought CSU had. All right.
Sorry, man.
No, but it's definitely, I think that's the big key too, is like who can protect the quarterback and whatnot. Is the offensive line just going to be run, and then, you know, on the five pass plays they run, are they all sacks and something like that?
Well, we look at the sacks. You have Ahmed Hassan for Boise, 12 sacks. You have Andrew Simpson, 6.5 sacks. UNLV doesn't have a legit sack leader on their team. Who is it? Am I right? Is it Jerb Williams at 3? Is he the leading sack person?
Yeah, a DB is your leading sacker.
Yeah, that's not great. Like, Whitmore is really good on sacks, but they have, overall, they're okay. But Boise has more playmakers up front. Even Marco, they have, before you get... Yeah, those two guys in Boise has like three guys with three. Ted Benfield, or Braxton Feely, those type of guys. But none of their DBs, which isn't great. They have one safety there in Benfield. But Boise State has two legit all-conference type players up front. Mm-hmm. And in linebacker. UNLV doesn't have that attack mode type of player in defense.
I mean, they do, which is why I think they don't. I don't think they're that run up the field type of defense. They're that the defensive line is there to, mm-hmm. you know, clog up the lanes. And then you're going to have the linebackers come in to finish, which is why, you know, Jackson Woodard is, you know, it's 104 tackles.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. Yeah. And he has, 47 solos. It's, I want to, if you're going to win this game, you got to make plays. So who makes more plays on defense? I think it's Boise State, right?
Yeah. UNLV is one of those, hey, we're here type of defenses where I think Boise State is more of that flash type.
Well, I would say with Jackson Turner and Cam Oliver have 7 interceptions combined, that's better than what Boise does, because Boise's weakness is their secondary.
Yeah.
Like, I did put Amar for my – okay, I'll spoil this here. I put him MVP or put surprise player? Hold on. Yeah, my under-the-radar player could be Amarion McCoy. We'll get to all these. Like, under-the-radar player who can make an impact. I think that's a legit possibility because of what he's when he watched what he's done overall. Yeah, he only has 2 picks, but he has – I'm trying to see how many pass breakups he has. He's up there near the top of the conference in – hold on, miscellaneous defense here with like 5 pass breakups. I think that could be something where you don't expect him to do a lot, but he's a guy out there. Okay, he could be something. But that's Boise's weakest part is their secondary. Mm-hmm. And so I could see him having a potential type of game, like a kind of a random guy. Like, he's middle of the pack, pass defense. I thought he had more. But when you look at overall at Boise, they have, like, Jalen Clark. Okay, he's pretty good. But they don't have anybody, like, elite. McCoy has a couple picks. But not UNLV makes more plays, I think, overall. Big plays. I think this is going to be a big play game. Is Asher Gentile going to get what he did last week for San Jose or Air Force? What do you have, a 50-yarder, a couple of 50-yarders, somewhere in that range?
He had a 75-yarder and a 50-yarder.
That's right. One was a short pass, I think.
Yeah.
But who's going to make the big play? Is it Ricky White going for a 60-yard touchdown bomb? Is it going to be Taylor Green going off the edge for something, or Ashton Genty? Is it going to be a pick six? Is it going to be, I don't know, it's going to be the one of the best, a 60-yard field goal to win the game? I think there's gonna be some game breaking play. I think in this game, it's gonna have to be. It can't be boring. This is not gonna be a 24-20 game.
I'd say 27-21 is my prediction.
Okay, well, whatever, fine, cool.
No, I also my bold prediction was 5 plus combined turnovers.
That's good. Here's my wild prediction. This might be boring, but I put a trick play that goes horribly wrong and results in a turnover. So
that's guaranteed to happen. That's just going
to
happen.
Is that not bold enough? Oh, man, I thought trying to – because it's like the trick play, the quarterback – or the quarterback does the flea, not flea flicker, but like the end of the round, the wide receiver, I'm going to throw it. I played quarterback in high school, dude, and he forces it, and it gets terribly underthrown or something. I picks it off. So I can see that happening.
Watch him call the fake, the jet sweep to Caden Dudley.
Oh, boy.
Again.
Oh, man.
That's still the funniest thing I've seen. Like, I realize I know what they're like. They hold up multiple signs, and, you know, the quarterback just reads it. It just happened to be that the camera angle had the perfect shot to show Caden's jet sweep or Caden jet, and then they ran the jet sweep to Caden Dudley.
Oh, my gosh. I want to say, like, this game, whatever happens, UNLV, this is not me saying, oh, good to be there. Good job, guys. You made it. They're there to win it, man. There is no reason they can't win. I don't see an edge big enough. Ashton Gentry's going to be the biggest playmaker. But if they, let's say they hold him to 100 and, okay, this might seem like a lot, like 125 total yards. So say he gets like 75, okay, 110. Like 75 rushing, like 40 receiving. Can UNLV win if they hold him to that amount of yards?
So for everyone or just
Gentry? Gentry. Like he gets 110 combined rushing and receiving.
It depends on Helani.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, what is, does Gentry have to have a, do you have a magic number for Gentry to get to and they win? But you have Helani as your MVP, so maybe it's hard to get a good assessment here.
I mean, magic number for Boise to win or UNLV to win?
UNLV, sorry, Boise.
For Boise, yeah. 150 combined.
Rushing yards for those two?
Yeah. No, total yards for Gentry.
Oh, Gentry. Okay, that's fair. Okay. That's for, a good number.
For UNLV, it's probably 120 below.
Okay, so it's not that big of a difference there. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I think he's a key player. I think Ricky White has to have a big game. I think Maeva, will see how he is as a freshman. But also, both coaches, like, again, brand new. Like, I'm wondering if with Boise and their, like, interim coach there, is he going to be aggressive or is he going to play well enough? Is he going to want to be super? That's why I kind of mentioned, like, oh, 4th and 2, go for it. 4th and 3. Is he going to be super aggressive? Because is he coaching for a head coaching job here? Is he going to overdo it possibly? I think that's on the table.
I mean, that's definitely a good question. Like, it depends. And we'll definitely see, you know, the first couple drives.
So what else do we have about this game? Anything special team? Anything else we need to get to? We go through their bold predictions, whatever kind of our other guys made on the site. Anything else to add about this game before we give our official picks? Quarterback play, does that make a difference? Maeva is a freshman come play in this type of game. Taylen Green has been around for a minute.
No, I think they're relatively equal special teams. This one could just be a coin flip game. I mean, I've made my predictions, but I could see it going either way.
Because looking overall, going by, we're going to have a position breakdown on the website, not solid on here, but I put core. I didn't, here's why I think that's a smart idea. I didn't make a push category. So there could be a push, but I put you to pick Rebels or Broncos. So quarterback.
I put UNLV.
Me too. I put I put offensive line, I put Boise, running back Boise, defensive line, linebacker Boise. I think where UNLV has the edge is wide receiver, quarterback, secondary, and probably special teams.
I did give UNLV special teams. The only difference, I put UNLV's linebackers as the winner.
I'm trying to remember what I did. They're pretty close, but there could be a push depending on how many people vote and everything.
Yeah, if you had put a push category, linebackers would have been a push.
But I didn't want to. I want people pick. To UNLV. I can see quarterback being a push possibly as well.
Yeah, there's that too.
But I'm leaning Maeva. So here's what we have here. We'll wrap it up here momentarily. We don't need to go forever on the one game here. So we'll give our picks the minutes. So my offensive MVP, I'm going simple with Ashton Gentry. And you, who'd you go with again? Let people know. Say it loud and clear.
I said George Helani because I think they're going to be so, you know, I mean, there's only one running back in the game usually at the time, but I think George Helani wants it more this time.
Okay. Who's your defensive? We have the same defensive MVP, Ahmad Hassanin for Boise.
I mean, there's two. I mean, he's so just good. Been a force. He has 12 sacks. If it wasn't for Mo Kamara just going off at the beginning of the year, he probably would have been Defensive Player of the Year.
We should know Matt, or Matt put his, likes UNLV, so puts Maeva for MVP. He puts Jackson Woodard. If I'm for Vegas, if I'm going to pick, if I'm going to go the other way around, if I'm picking, because this obviously tells us who we're picking, leading to win. If you, if UNLV wins, if I'm going that route, I'm going Ricky White, and I'm going probably Cam Oliver or Jackson Woodard for the MVP if UNLV wins.
I could definitely see that. I could also definitely see, you know, one of the running backs from UNLV getting offensive too.
Sure, if they get like three touchdowns or something.
Yeah, if Jaden Thomas has another four touchdown
case. Something like that. Yeah. So under the radar, who's your under? I almost picked. Did you just change your under the radar player?
I did.
I almost had who you had before. I was going to go with the tight end for Riley Smith of Boise State. I was going to pick him.
I know. I thought this might be a time for him to break out, but he still only has 9 catches on the year.
Ugh.
And I feel like, you know, with all the attention on they, because they don't really throw the tight end that much, I feel like all with all the attention on the running backs, you know, it might be time for a receiver breakout.
That's what I kind of thought too. So I was looking like he's a name. So you go with Stephen Cobbs, right?
Yeah.
I'm going with, I've already mentioned, Marion McCoy, CB for Boise, because if he's lined up against, like, Ricky White, he makes plays, he has a couple pass breakups, he knocks up down. That's, because when I'm looking for under the radar player to make impact, we could go returner special teams. Those guys can always make an impact. The other options on here, people chose DJ Schramm, Boise State, and New Vegas linebacker Marcel McDuffie. If you're looking at who's going to make under radar, it's going to be like a cornerback or some defensive player you don't know make a big play. Or it's a special teams guy. So that's kind of what we have. Or like wide receiver number 3, which you don't have, but Boise's receivers aren't great.
Mm.
So your wild prediction was 5 plus turnovers?
Yep.
Is that...
I combined between both teams. I know.
You want an ugly game? What's going on here, man?
I'm just saying.
Mine was trick play goes horribly wrong, results in a turnover. Our buddy Matt put Jet Thomas has the longest play from scrimmage. And, oh, I love Brandon's here. Fake punt by UNLV that goes for a touchdown. Love it. Let's make all this happen. Every single one of these should happen in the game. So what's your prediction? What do you got here? Give us your winner and score projection.
So I have Boise winning 27-21.
So that's under, but Boise covering. Because over-under is 58.5. I'm going Boise as well, if you can't tell by our picks, 34-28. And so they cover as well. I think I'm honestly trying not to make this be like, oh, UNLV, you're never been here before, you've always sucked. I'm trying to stay away from that. But they just haven't been playing amazingly well the past couple weeks.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And I think we mentioned this, at least I did at the first, is like, UNLV just hasn't been, you're right, UNLV hasn't been playing good these past few weeks, and Boise has that momentum. You know, they have that 3 wins in a row after firing Avalos. You know, they beat Utah State, they beat Air Force to get into this title game. I don't think they want to rest on their laurels. I think they want to finish the job.
Yeah, and we're nitpicking too. They lost to San Jose State by 6 points, but had to make a comeback, so that wasn't great. They beat a banged-up Air Force bowling 4 points. But they beat Wyoming by 20. They beat New Mexico by 56-14 and crushing. Basically, got Danny Gonzalez fired, essentially. So it's like they've been playing bad, but just not great. So it's it's the team they lost to, pretty close, weren't bad. But anything else to add here? Because we're going to wrap it up here. Anything else you're looking at, considering?
No, I think we covered most of it.
One last thing we add here, so I'm trying to see if I can pull this up from Bill Connolly, or excuse me, not Bill Connolly, ESPN, I thought it was Bill Connolly, but the numbers, they do not have, then I'm annoyed. This thing says computers pick the teams, and hold on, I'm going to look at this now because I'm annoyed. Never mind, I looked at this incorrect. The title deceived me, Josh. I thought it said computers pick, okay, tell me if you saw this title. Maybe I'm a dummy and we're going to end on this as me being an idiot. It says computers pick UNLV Boise State for Mountain West title game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it meant like, oh, the computers are picking the game. Like, oh, here's what computer ratings have for who's going to win that matchup. Am I completely wrong? You read that poorly?
Nope, they just wrote that wrong.
It's just a bad headline, right?
Yep.
Okay, I appreciate it. I, but I,
if, I will say FBI has it 56-44.
For Boise? Okay. That sounds right. I'm just annoyed. I read this. I'm like, oh, cool. Computer rating 10. I'm like, wait a minute. All right. I'm annoyed now. I want the Mountain West team to win in this matchup. Whoever wins to be an amazing matchup. I just, the better story is what's the better story? We'll end on this, honestly. UNLV's never been there. Interim coach wins first ever conference title. That's never happened ever in college football.
I mean, I think you could make a case for either. I'm going to split the middle, even though Rebel Girl will say we're biased against UNLV. The middle and say either one would make a good story.
Does she even listen? I don't understand. I blocked her on Twitter years ago. I have no nonsense for her.
Hey, you never know.
Hey, Rebel, here's what I'm saying. UNLV is amazing. They are a fun team to watch. I saw them in person. They do a good job. They are a great football team. They have the most wins in the conference with 9 wins. They can get a 10-win season. The only other time they had a 10-win season, they got pulled the rug out from them for academically ineligible players with Randall Cunningham as QB/punter. So, don't say we're not rooting for your Rebel teams. I got Boise to winning. I would, if I'm going to just like, for pure funness, I want to know who I'm rooting for. I'll say it right now, I'm rooting for UNLV to win. I want them to win. I just don't know if they'll get it done.
We'll see what happens.
All right, man. All right, we'll check you next time. We'll be on Twitter, MWC Wire, as long as Twitter's around, because, there's some stuff going on that's not looking good. So we may be joining some other social networks to find us, but we'll be good over there. MWR.com is around always, forever. That you can't. Elon Musk can't take that away from us, Josh. We're good, right? It's on the website. All right, so hope your team wins. Even if you're not a fan of these teams, watch this game. It should be a good one. And we'll be back in a couple days to recap this matchup, and bowl season's upon us after that.